For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, today we commemorate Saint Agnes for a second time, and there's a great story attached to her. The Emperor Constantine, who made old empire a Christian state, had a daughter named Constance. She became gravely ill, and even though she was not a Christian herself, she went into the grave of Saint Agnes to pray. There she heard the voice of Saint Agnes saying that if she would believe Jesus is God, he would make her healthy. And Princess Constance was healed, she was baptized, and with her many others of the emperor's family and household. In many churches in Europe, especially in Germany and France, it is kept today the feast of Blessed Charlemagne, or Charles the Great. He is also a patron of the University of Paris, and today it's 1,200 years of his death. He who became the second founder of the Christian Empire in the West was the son of King Pepin, born in the year 742 and crowned King of France in the year 768. He restored Pope Saint Leo III at Rome and made that then tumultuous city again a peaceful domain of the popes. And for thanks of this, Saint Leo III crowned Charlemagne Emperor of the West on Christmas Day in the year 800. The Christian Empire had collapsed in the West in the 5th century, but it was now gloriously restored by Blessed Charlemagne. He is not in the universal calendar, and after medieval times his cult suffered much, especially from the Protestants, who naturally had great hostility for this man, who was the noblest type of a Catholic prince. But Blessed Charlemagne certainly lived a life of a saint. This king and emperor did fasting, which competed even with the strictest hermits, and he wore a hair shirt to the day he died, and he assisted the divine office day and night. Any priest who struggles even in normal parish work just to recite his daily office knows that if a king who has a whole kingdom to run manages to participate to some office, he has to be a saint. And when Charlemagne had to be on his military campaigns, he had divine office and mass performed in his tent. Blessed Charlemagne also managed to read good spiritual books. He had Saint Augustine's book on the City of God laid every night under his pillow to read it if he awaked in the middle of the night. Some historians claimed that he could not read, but he was a highly educated man, so he almost certainly knew how to read, even though it might have been done with more difficulty than we do, which makes his sacrifice of spiritual reading even more edifying. Like a true Christian, our good king and emperor was not worried about giving riches to himself and his subjects, but to make himself and his subjects live a good life and prepare their souls for heaven, which is the true home of all Christians. Blessed Charlemagne did give alms, but only to the poor, as any good Christian would do, and he almost drove his kingdom to poverty by sending support to the persecuted Christians in places like Africa, Syria, Egypt, and Palestine. All places where Christians are persecuted, even today. So you see, children, very little has changed in 12 centuries. Blessed Charlemagne supported the church so that she could bring sacraments even to distant lands, as our Father Nkamuke does today with the generous support from the Catholics of USA. But before Blessed Charlemagne was a missionary, before he was a king, or before he was a husband and a father, he was most of all a Catholic. He signed himself, "I, Charles, by the grace of God and the giving of his mercy, King and Governor of the Kingdom of the French, devoted defender of God's Holy Church and her humble champion." Blessed Charlemagne always respected the full liberty of the Church, as it were his own mother's honor, as indeed it was, since the Church is a true loving mother to all Christians. It was he who secured the independence of the Papal States, and the popes have never had a more devoted or more obedient son as a ruler. He established the Roman liturgy in all the churches of his kingdom. He was very fond of the Gregorian chant and the first to introduce it into France and Germany. But he was also a Christian ruler. He was very severe in suppressing vice, most especially adultery and idolatry, for which he established special tribunals with extraordinary powers. After winning the lengthy war against Saxons, Blessed Charlemagne imposed them no other law than that they have to become Christians. And he wanted it to be made clear to everyone that his domain was a Christian land, and obliged all landowners to put a wooden cross in their fields. But in all of these great actions, what he did, he claimed nothing to himself, but gave all glory to God. This mighty emperor could hardly be distinguished by his dress from the rest of his people. He never appeared in his imperial golden robes, except on the principal feasts of our Lord and the saints. He finally, after a long life and a rule of almost 50 years, fell sick and received the consolation of Holy Communion. He signed his whole body with the sign of the cross, singing the words, "Into thy hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit," and died in peace on this day 1,200 years ago. The life of Blessed Charlemagne shows us what kind is a true Christian ruler. Europe has never been, and has never since been, so happy as it was under his rule. That old continent is now divided against itself, the Christian empire of Blessed Charlemagne having long since fallen. Nowadays, the nations of that fallen empire in Europe are restless and unhappy, as you can see every year and every month. If you watch news, you see how there's now a great tumult in Ukraine, where people march on streets and riot that they would have better living. And for many centuries, the people of Europe have in vain searched for happiness, for they can never see that it is the Catholic Church alone who can satisfy their wants. For it is the Church alone who can give them the true faith. And today we pray for European nations and for American nations as well, that both their people and their governments could cease to seek the blessings of life by revolutions and discord, and that they would return to what can alone give them liberty and security, namely the true faith, which is protected by the true Catholic Church. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.